the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join into thanksgiving and prayer. Righteous and holy God, dear Heavenly Father, we see your might in nature around us, and we humbly acknowledge our smallness and weakness. Dear God, we thank you for your good works to us, small humans. We thank you for the opportunity of gathering together tonight before your word. We thank you for the gifts that you so richly and abundantly have bestowed upon us. Dear God, we also humbly ask for service blessing, that you would feed the hunger of our undying soul, that you would encourage us in our begun faith. And if a person who is not a partaker with us of this heavenly peace could hear and understand and believe and receive the same gift, dear God, bless our service. Amen. We have come to the end of the year, church year. Church calendar comes to its end and this Sunday. So this Sunday speaks about judgment, because that is how this world will end. It ends with judgment. And there's another name for this Sunday. It's as Jesus is the King. So this is the Sunday of the kingship of Jesus. And one of the texts for this Judgment Sunday is found from Revelation 20. We read from verse 11 unto the first verse of chapter 21 in Jesus' name. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Amen. This book of Revelations is the only prophetical book in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. And it is a set of signs and visions that God showed unto John, a disciple of Jesus, when he was left alone to die in a remote sea or remote island in Aegean Sea near Turkey. There we see how God's plans and man's plans are way different. Those men who brought John there and left him there alone thought that he would die there. And of course, they thought that he will have a miserable end. Maybe they even felt some kind of pity for him. Maybe only hatred. We don't know. But for sure, they would not have wanted to change places with John. They were pleased to leave from there, to go away. And that was a place where John, I dare say, lived the most, the happiest moments of his life. Such great difference there is between man's plans and God's plans. The happiest moments. And now, this our text is from the latter part of his visions. And he explains here what he saw. So God opened unto him. God showed unto him. God can show, and God can open. It speaks in the Bible how, for instance, of John the Baptist. The Gospel speaks how John started baptizing people. And it says how the Word of God happened unto John the Baptist. God's words happened unto him. We don't fully know what it means, but it means basically that the God opened unto him something that he didn't know before. He did not understand it before. It became reality unto him. He realized that I have to begin to baptize people. Like Moses, when he was in the mountain of Sinai, he was given precise instructions. As one brother said, that God showed him the blueprint of the tabernacle, how it was supposed to be and look like. God gave him precise instructions how to build it. And now, here, John was able to see the happenings that take place in the last times of this world. And here he saw how the judgment takes place. And he says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it. And now we talk about triune God, Godhead. And the Word of God speaks how Jesus will be given the power. And when Jesus has fulfilled even this judgment, he gives the power back unto God. I don't understand it, and I don't have to. I will see it, what it means, and how does it take place. But the Bible describes that the judge at the judgment day will be Christ. Not God, but Christ. But of course we know that God is one. But the judge will be in the form of Christ. And if we stop to think it, what better judge could we hope for as believers? Of course, we know that God is just. Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son is just. That means right, righteous. But if we think that Christ will be the judge, he is the one who died for our sins, who better judge could we hope for than the one who died for my sins? So this happening that our text talks about is, I would say, the focal point of our life. Everything, what we do, what we decide to do in this life, during this whole lifetime, we should remember and base our decisions on this. And I thought about that if I had to answer to the question that why do you do this, something of my faith, that why did you choose it? Let's take television, a kind of simple example. If somebody asks me that why you don't choose to follow television, and typically if this question comes up, the person says that there are good programs also. Of course they say also because they know that there is evil programs. And typically I think that's the worst. That's the difficulty with the whole television issue. There are good programs, that's for sure. Interesting and good. And that's the problem. Because it creates a clean cover. And it's there inside, there's so much dirt, so much evil, that it hurts the whole mankind. I would say that if we think of the arsenal of tools or weapons that the enemy of the souls has used against mankind, television might be one of the most influential, one of the most evil tools or weapons. So if somebody would ask me that why do you choose this way, I think that one good answer would be because of the judgment day. Because I believe that I must step before my God one day. And I think, I don't know how to happen. The Bible speaks some of it. It says here, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." That's the setting. We cannot number the amount of people that are there. As the Bible says, that even the group, a number of winners, of the believers, could not be numbered. And I read the other day how many abortions take place during the year. And the number was so huge that the global number of abortions, that I had to start dividing it to make it something that I could understand. And I counted how many abortions take place every day. And the number was so big that I couldn't understand it. And so I went to the number per hour, and it was too big. And I counted how many abortions takes place every second throughout the year. And the number was 70. 70 abortions takes place every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every month throughout the year. It's so much, it's almost unfathomable. The number of those, as our text said, "I saw the dead, small and great." The number of small ones before the throne is so huge that no one can count it. As we believe, according to the Bible, that every birth, every conception that God gives, every living soul is a child of God. 70 pass away every second. So the number of elected ones is so huge that we can't think about that. So if at the time of Jesus' birth, lots of children were killed at Bethlehem, and if lots of Hebrew children were drowned when the Israelites prepared for the departure, it's nothing compared to this. Just nothing. It's a fraction. 70 per second. So, here our text speaks of Jesus who sat on the great white throne. His face is so bright that the earth and the heaven fled away from his face. So the happenings in this day are so big that I can't describe them. We can't understand them, but we will see them. And now John sees even what happens at the judgment. He says, "And the books were opened." And then he says, "And another book was opened." And he explains that this is the book of life. So first there were books, plural, and then there was one book. And God has opened that this matter of books means the books of conscience. The enemy teaches us that nobody sees you. For instance, when we sit in our own room and we face the challenge of internet, the enemy says that nobody sees you. Nobody knows what you're doing. There is always one pair of eyes that sees what we do. God, as Ville Suutari used to say, bright eyes see us. God's eyes are so bright. No matter how far we are, how many doors we have walked, if we even put the blinds on and the curtains, all kinds of things on to protect our privacy, God sees and God knows. God is there. And everything that we do against His word, that is against His will, is written in the book of life. We carry this book all our lifetime. It's our life. Those are the books that were opened. But it spoke here first that I saw the dead stand before God. How can a dead one stand? A dead ones don't stand, do they? So we understand that this is not a physical death, but it speaks about spiritual death. So the books were opened for those who were not in faith. Those lies, secrets will come public at the judgment day. And it says here, and the dead, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And that is a righteous judgment. God judges those people whose sins were not forgiven. Judges them according to their works. So why did the brothers explain that the books of believers are not opened at all? Because there is a sign of what? There is a sign of forgiveness. The books, I was amazed when I heard those brothers to explain how not even the last day our evil works are not being published at all. Not even there. Our books stay closed, and there is only a sign that sins are being forgiven. We don't and we can't fully understand what is the depth of the treasure that we have in God's kingdom, in forgiveness of sins. We cannot here upon earth, we don't appreciate it deep enough what happens when our sins are being forgiven unto us. They will be wiped away, not only from our consciences and minds, but also from the books of God. They are no more. I guess many of you have felt the battle when the enemy of the souls comes and starts fishing. He puts a long line and goes fishing to the sea of grace. And he tries to pull up those evil deeds that you have fallen into and which have been forgiven. And he reminds you that this kind of a person you are a big sinner. Well, that's true, we are sinners, we are big sinners, but forgiven sins don't exist. There are no forgiven sins. They are forgiven. God's forgiveness is so deep and great that we cannot understand even that. We can't. We are so human. We are so small. My brother and sister, the sin which you have been forgiven is no more. There is no such sin. If God doesn't know it, you shouldn't either. The Word of God even speaks, or it's a song of Zion. I don't know if it's been translated or not. It's an old song which says that it's even a sin to remember those. We don't need to remember those. Those sins that you have been forgiven, they don't exist. Think about that. And it says here how the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. But then, then it speaks how the other book also will be opened and gone through and read through. Oh, it's going to take long. It's impossible for us to think how long it will take. But on the other hand, time is only for this time. There is no time any longer. The clocks have burnt. There are no clocks. I guess we don't tire there. We just wait and wait and wait. And the judgment continues. And every person, from the righteous Abel to the last one that goes before judgment seat, their matters will be seen through at that day. So everybody has to go before the judge, and the judgment that happens is final, and it's right, and it's just. And I would think that we also, maybe I'm too small even to think about that, but there is no one that says that you are unjust. Well, the Bible speaks how some people are surprised. They are very surprised. They wonder how that happened. I think it is in Matthew 7 where Jesus speaks from the mountain. He says, this is Matthew 7:21 onwards. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many, not only few, but many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Think about that. There are even people who put their trust unto their works. Have you ever thought how many good people there are in this world? Nice people. Good people. Who serve one another. Who help one another. Who are so nice that it's almost a temptation for us to think that God is unjust. Because those people won't make it to heaven. But the reason is that everybody must believe. If somebody has been given a kind nature and altruistic heart who kindly thinks others and serves others, it doesn't save anybody. There will be many people on the day who are genuinely surprised. That's how it seems like. They are genuinely surprised that how did it go this way? That didn't we do this and that? And sure enough, they did. But that does not save anybody. So, it is also a lesson for us that I know how many people put lots of hours and effort in serving this kingdom. I was very touched many times when I saw dear brothers, and I would say especially sisters, working for our Saturday market. I know that you worked. I saw it. And I know that I saw only the surface. I know that so much happened at your homes. But remember, that does not save you. If that becomes a second Christ, it's wrong. It's sin. It is and it must be a fruit of faith. And it is beautiful that God gives that kind of mind and heart that we want to serve. I sometimes feel, I would say, ashamed when I think how much work this congregation puts together. And I think that I'm being paid. And I do so little. But it's God who makes that happen. God gives the willing heart to work. And I know that God pays. God fills your heart with joy. God pays. God is majesty. And he pays it back plentifully, many times. You feel the joy in your own heart. And that's good. The work of this kingdom is a blessing. It takes your time. Sometimes we feel tired, unwilling. We may even grumble. And we may feel temptations to think that why do they work me so hard? And maybe we even think that I should have said no. But isn't that so? That when we drag our bones to where we should go and try in the weak manner to do it. And God blesses it. He fills the heart with joy. And we realize that God served me. I did not serve God, but God served me. And that's God's goodwill. It's God's goodwill, my dear brother and sister, that He attaches you into this kingdom, also through temporal work, by your service. So don't listen to the enemy of the souls when he is busy whispering that maybe you should do less. Don't think about that. But pray that God would guide your life in such a way as He sees good. Because when we stand before the judgment seat, we don't grumble anymore. You don't ask any question. You don't have the most common question any longer, that why question. Then you realize that it was God's good and wise will that He led me through this way. And your mouth is full of thanks and praise to God. Let us allow Him to guide our lives. And let us pray that He could do it. He knows what He's doing. And He's good at that. And then it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Before this already, in the third verse, which I didn't read, says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. So, when we see that happen, that the enemy of the souls is being thrown into the lake of fire, and death and hell, those matters, thoughts that make us tremble and fear, they are being put to condemnation. There is no more fear. We don't need to fear anything. I have tried to think sometimes, how will it feel, but I can't understand. When there is no sin, think about that. That you don't envy anybody, you don't fear, you don't fall. There is no pain, there are no sorrows, nothing of that type. That is where we are going towards. That's where we are traveling to. So we have lots of reasons to be thankful to God that He has, for His grace, put our feet onto this road of life. There are listeners here who have received the grace of repentance from the world. And maybe you know deepest what is the difference between the lot of a child of God and the lot of an unbeliever. But I would say that no one of us knows it as well as we will realize it at the last day. Then we understand what we own now. So let us keep hold of that. Let us protect that as well as we can. And how do we protect this gift? By fighting against sin. that we don't become proud and arrogant and think that, yes, I can handle some temptation. I can live partially in the world and partially in the God's kingdom. And when the difficult times come, I'll take my another foot from the world to God's kingdom. It's dangerous play. Let us try to protect our good lot as a child of God as best as we can. What can we do as we are weak and poor sinners, wretched people? We can promise to believe. That's what you can do. You decide to believe or decide not to believe. And God's will is that you believe. Even now, uplift your heart, open your heart to receive the blessing and believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. In Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. We can never understand here what does it mean. But one day we will see it. What we want with this little faith. Can I also believe my many sins forgiven? I promise to believe together with you. I hope that there is no one here who is so downcast that you can't believe. God wants you to believe. Even the name sins, whatever they are, the enemy may say that yeah, the gospel is true, but it belongs to better believers. No, it belongs to you. So believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood, and be of good cheer. Amen. Let us join into the benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.